We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter. This is the Dane Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Prize Picks, coming at Monday morning. It's April 1st after the Wolves lost to the Chicago Bulls on Sunday night, making their stay at the top of the Western Conference brief. They jumped up to number one after beating Denver on Sunday night. And then Denver and Oklahoma City win on Sunday night. So the Wolves are now at least temporarily back into the three seed, I think. The Thunder have 22 losses, and the Wolves and Nuggets both have 23. But we're going to talk about that game. We're going to talk about whatever we talk about. I have Chris Hyde, Wolves beat writer, here with me today. Anything been going on in your world this last week?
No, since the last time I was on here, I don't think anything has happened of major consequence. No, nothing. Everything's been great. Yeah.
Are you recharged?
I don't think I'm going to be recharged until I hit a beach somewhere in the middle of August or something like that. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
It was chaotic.
It was a week.
No, but I mean, credit to you for your work and your coverage on, honestly, not just even Thursday, Friday. It's been, for a beat writer like yourself, it's been a wild couple weeks, even not related to the ownership. Like, yes. I almost completely forgot about the Gupta hard drive thing, which just like doesn't even, there's a crazy story, but doesn't even, you know, it fell off into the wind.
It was March was a month. We'll just put it that way. And Mariah Carey celebrated her 55th anniversary, as we like to say. So yeah, there was a lot going on for me in the month of March.
In your world. Mm-hmm. Well, specific to last night's game, I think like the question is how the Bulls shot 59% from three and the Wolves shot 29% from three. It hasn't been, you know, many games this season where it's felt like a shooting variance sort of thing, as they say, where just an opponent gets super hot against the Wolves. That clearly happened, but you know, you always kind of have to look at that through the prism of, you know, how much of that was just hot shooting versus how much of that was the way in which your team was playing defense. I'm just going to play the Finch clip to that at the beginning here, and then maybe we can dig into that a little bit more. Here's Finch when asked about the shooting.
Then a record night from the Bulls from the three-point line. They're just getting good looks. How did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, the first half in particular, they just were driving the ball and then we were collapsing and then just kicking out. They did a great job of making the right play. And we tightened them up for a little while and then they made a couple late that broke the game for them.
Chris, do you view that as just a team that was hot in general, or was it poor rotations and things defensively? That
I mean, they certainly were hot, but I think, you know, we had to do a better job of A, containing the ball, and B, closing out with a little bit more urgency. You know, and I think in the first half in particular, you know, I think we got the game plan wrong. you know, so I'll take responsibility for that. And then we, you know, we finally adjusted it and started to look a little bit more like ourselves defensively. But by that time they had, you know, they had seen all the shots go in. So it's a confident team when it happens. So
what specifically was slipping in the game plan, or what did you want to see?
Oh, it was just, you know, I think we had probably the wrong coverages out there for a bit. So
Chris, we were talking on Media Road during the game, like even in that first half of like just kind of pulling down the row of like, do we think the Wolves are playing bad defense here? And we were talking about the offensive side of the ball too, because it was just one of those games where it was coming out and the Bulls are just, you know, up, you know, 12, 14 points or whatever it was early. What after like the four quarters, you know, play out the game, obviously the game's over now, like how did you perceive the way in which they played defense, like the quality of it versus maybe some of the luck factor?
I thought it was like okay. I mean, the second half was I thought better than the first, and I don't think it was just because, you know, Chris Finch may have adjusted and the coaching staff may have adjusted some of what they were doing. Maybe they weren't playing bad defense, they were just playing the wrong defense in the first half. But I do also think that I just thinking back to that Denver game, and there was just, I don't know, an extra little extra juice in their step, you know, a little more physicality that I don't think was on display last night, which is kind of the hallmark of this team defensively. And they turned it on and they got there when they needed to try to make a run in the fourth quarter, and they did get the lead for a little bit. But overall, I just felt like, you know, the kind of consistent defensive efforts, the physicality with which they play, their desire to, you know, stop penetration, it just didn't seem like it was all there last night.
Yeah, I think that it's good to bring up the Denver game. I think there was some of that like redlining, right, where they just kind of burned out a little bit. Like sure. I don't know if you noticed this or if it picked it up on TV for those that were listening, but I noticed in Denver whenever there was like a timeout and the Wolves had to go to the bench, it was just like exhaustion, you know, walking over to the bench. Yeah. Obviously there's an altitude factor there and all of those things, but if fatigue had accrued right up to that point in Denver, then, you know, it would make some sense that there was some, you know, spillover into Sunday of like hoping to be able to win without needing to do every, you know, give a 10 out of 10 effort.
Right. Try to win with a B game, basically.
Right. Yeah. And you need that sometimes in the NBA. I'm not even really like, I don't know. It wasn't like the Detroit game necessarily where it just felt like the effort wasn't there completely based on the opponent. I took a lot of it to be fatigue. And I think then a lot of that, given the way, you know, they were playing and to the coverage's point, and the fact that Vucevic and the bigs were popping and hitting shots, you needed to kind of scramble to be able to beat that, you know. And then, you know, if whoever was guarding DeRozan, that was the second half switch to Ant was guarding DeRozan in the first half. Then they went with McDaniels and Anderson on DeRozan in the second half. I mean, those are just like, particularly if DeRozan and Vucevic are making those shots, you really got to hustle and work to make those shots difficult. And I think there's like a sort of psychological element to these guys are beating you from mid-range when normally that's where you're used to, like, just a contest from mid-range is like, okay, normally, right, you know? Right. But against those guys, it's kind of a different level.
You're just used to not having to really contest that, you know, all the time. It's not a level of the defense where they're used to to being up on people, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they are so 3-point focused and obviously at the rim focused, like most teams are. I think you're right on the fatigue, though. I noticed that, like, you know, you were there and you know, I was like, I'm thinking, like, man, there's a lot of guys, like, during the timeouts, like, just hands on knees, like, you know, hands behind the head. Like, you saw it. They were giving a lot in that game. They knew how much that game meant. They were giving a lot. And, you know, they were going to figure out Sunday's game later. You know, it was a situation where, you know, you're coming back. They flew after the game Thursday night, you know, you're losing the hour on the flight back. So you're not getting into like three, you know, like three-ish, four-ish in the morning when you finally get to where you live after the flight. So, you know, you only have one day to recover from that. Like, I don't know if, again, I bring this point up a lot, and, you know, people on Twitter and everybody will shout it down, but like, there's human consequences to the travel and the pace of the schedule that these players deal with, and every team has to go through it. But, you know, at certain points in the season, it just hits you harder than others. And I think a trip like that hits you when you have to come back so quickly, and then have to play at 6 p.m. on a Sunday. So, you know, I think that there was, I don't know if let down is the right word too. Like, you're coming off the big Denver win, very emotional as well, that it's just a natural emotional letdown, motivational letdown when you're coming in against an opponent like Chicago. I think that's also human to have too. But, you know, they've done it. It seems like most of the season they've done a good job of still pulling some of these games out, especially.
Well, think about the Boston game after Orlando. I mean, the only other one that it was like back to back and they had no juice and it didn't really look like they tried was the Phoenix game.
Yeah.
And like, there is a, and I think, and even just like going on Twitter and looking around once I got home, there's a frustration with that when your team doesn't bring forth their best effort, which they didn't in that Phoenix game. I don't think they did last night, but it's one of those times where we kind of have to remind ourselves that this does happen across the league for all 30 teams. And it's how many of your games did you just lose because you didn't have your effort or the fatigue was there.
The schedule got to you one way or another. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this season, to the Wolves' credit, being a significantly more consistent team, you know, a lot of credit, I think, there goes to the vets, particularly Rudy and Mike, for just kind of always being pretty stabilizing. We talk about this team not having ever lost three games in a row, or even like last, I was thinking about it. Like, they don't really ever get blown out. Like, that was a game where
that's been one of my things all season with this team, is the only team that has legitimately like blown them out has been like, well, that Phoenix game, but like has blown them out under circumstances where they shouldn't have been blown out is New Orleans.
Yep.
Like, those were the only games that like the Wolves lost like convincingly.
That was the Zion both of them. Ant didn't play game though, right?
Did Ant miss one of those games?
I don't remember if it was the Pelicans blowout game or not.
Well, I think Ant may have missed the one in New Orleans. I'd have to go back and look. But the one at home when the Pelicans just crushed them, like, I'm pretty sure Ant was there for that.
Yeah, one. No, I think you're right. Those are both losses. But but the point is there's few of them, and and I think that or a few games they've been blown out. Few times they've lost even consecutive games, never lost through. I mean, that being in who this team is why they are as high as they are in the Western Conference after having, you know, they're going to play another season where an all-star player on their team misses, you know, 20 games or whatever and losing Cat. So there is a stability to this team. And I think, you know, situationally and against the wrong opponent, you can get hurt by that a little bit. I think the Bulls have some characteristics that the Wolves are susceptible to, you know, and not just because the Wolves are 0-2 against the Bulls this year, but I do think they're kind of susceptible to mid-range teams.
Sure.
You know, even and particularly like bigs who can shoot from the mid-range. Remember like Claxton again in that Brooklyn game was like, it's kind of that like short 12-foot range. They were hurting him from there. Sabonis has hurt him there. You know, Vucevic. And then they're physical up top, you know, and Rudy kind of has to guard, you know, Vucevic or Drummond when he's out there. That kind of reminds me of the Sabonis matchup too, where you can't, like, when the Wolves are playing the Kings, you can't do the Jokic thing and put Rudy off of there. Like, Rudy has to guard that guy. And it's not that he can't. It's just we've kind of come to understand that the Wolves' best defensive alignment is when they can use Rudy more as a help side defender. And mm-hmm. in this matchup, you can't, you know. Again, doesn't mean they shouldn't have beat them or couldn't beat them. But there's these things adding up. Also, they have a lot of guys for Ant. Caruso, Dosunmu, like, I don't know. I'd be curious how many possessions Ant wasn't guarded by Caruso or Isle in that, yeah. that whole game. Like, that's tough. That's kind of like, you know, when Jamal Murray has to take every single shot either against Jaden McDaniels or Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Like,
yeah,
that's tough. They do, you know, they do have those type of guys on their team. And then also, like, I think the Wolves kind of have this line, if you were to rank all 30 teams in the league, where there's a line lower in the standings where they just don't take as teams as seriously. And I think Chicago is like the best below that
the
line.
Best of you know the best of the best of the teams that the Wolves don't take seriously. I think it's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
It's like they must look at like, oh yeah, this team is are the Bulls below what's their record? They're below 500, right?
They're like the 36 and 39.
Maybe it's like a 500 team. Maybe mm-hmm. that's the line, right? Are they above 500? Are they below 500? They're below 500. We don't have to take them seriously tonight. Yep. Mm-hmm. It feels like that's generally the line. So good news for the Rockets coming to town. It was Tuesday night because they're above 500. But it's barely. Really, but at least, I think the Rockets are going to be on their radar because the Rockets have played so well of late that I think they're going to take them seriously. But I think you're right, though. I think they just viewed that as like, oh, this is we can get by with a B minus game, no problem. And they got burnt.
And the Bulls played really well.
But that's the perfect storm. You know, it's if you play down and the other team maybe punches up a little bit from where they normally play, that's what you get. That's life in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think you're right though about the mid-range, which is why I think, you know, we maybe are very intrigued to see how this team does against Phoenix, you know, over the next week and a half or however 2 weeks, however long the season remains. And it's twice, just given Kevin Durant's game and how that interacts with Booker and this defense. And And I think that's going to be a really unique and intriguing matchup for this team. And we'll see how that plays out. That's on Friday night in Phoenix. So, and again, you know, this is going to be another schedule week where it's like back to back at home on Tuesday and Wednesday, fly to Phoenix on Thursday. So, you know, it's going to be a tough week. Right. It's going to be a tough week for them schedule-wise as well.
Part because I clipped this, but Finch did mention, I think the segues or connects to two things. Finch mentioned the game plan mistake. Mike Conley here kind of explains what the game plan mistake was here, but also talks about going against those mid-range bigs in particular. Mm-hmm. So while we're on it, let me play that.
There's not a lot of teams who go to bigs who like kind of pop and shoot, and even in the mid-range kind of there. But I think of a couple games like Claxton had some of those and Sabonis. What's the key, I guess, against that? Given that Rudy's normally going to want to be either up in coverage or back at the rim, how do you guard that?
Yeah, that was our mistake early in the game. Is we were still trying to fight over to get back to the guard. And Rudy was kind of playing in between. They got a layup one time. They got some threes off of that, mid-ranges. Second half, with our guards, we started to peel out to that big man a little bit sooner. So get over the screen, you know, let the guard drive it into Rudy, and then we just try to take away the pocket pass to the big, or if the big pops, we pop back with the big and guard him on the perimeter and, you know, hope that they settle or something like that. So that's what we did to kind of get ourselves back in the game.
I don't know if people can picture this. It was in the second half. I think it was the fourth quarter. Mike did that. He peeled back and stole a pocket pass back to Vucevic there. So that's just kind of generally what it was. Is I mean, I think they kind of tried to ignore Vucevic there, who hasn't been shooting well this season.
Right.
And then he does.
He hits a couple early, and yeah.
Yep. And you gotta adjust and play off of that. But I do think it's one of those things to think about, you know, in a playoff series and a matchup there of like, this is a way for a team who so rarely gets hurt defensively, right? I think it's worthwhile for us to log the ways over the course of the season in which they have. You know, we talked about that with like Zion and then a handful of other things over the course of time. I will say, if they do have to go up against that in the playoffs, that is going to be hammered home of what the coverage is and how they want to guard that.
If they're going to be facing this for 6-7 games in a playoff series, I think that they will be able to design something or tweak the way they play defense in order to accommodate for that. When it's a night in, night out basis at an NBA, it's a little harder maybe to, I mean, we've talked a little bit about how the Wolves have a good attention to detail on a night in, night out basis when it comes to playing defense. But if you can really drill down in a playoff series and design a certain scheme specifically for one opponent for 6 games or whatever it is, then I think this team has shown that it's good enough and capable enough to adapt in the course of a playoff series and make a couple chess moves.
I don't think it's something to deeply fear. It's just, it's like anything. How do we want Rudy to guard this? How do we learn how to guard around Rudy in that way? Mm-hmm. And you can nail that in a week of practice before that. Mm-hmm. Let's grab our first break. We have a pair of tickets to give away for tomorrow night's game against the Rockets. We've been doing this kind of on and off over the course of the season. It's for our Patreon subscribers. If you are available to go to the Wolves Rockets game tomorrow night, you just send us a DM on Patreon to let us know you are available. And then we just kind of pick someone at random. It's also a way to, or a reminder that if you want to support this show, you can do that via Patreon. There's links in the show notes here on YouTube or on your podcast player to click on there. It's $5 a month, completely optional, but it's a way to, you know, we kind of keeps the engine going of the show here too. And also we have tickets to give away to this game, and we'll have another set, I think, for one of the final games of the regular season there too. So that's Patreon, patreon.com/DaneMoreNBA, and shoot us a message over there. And then also quickly, I realized this morning that baseball season started.
I didn't even notice it myself last week. Shoot. The Twins are playing again. What happened here? And like their best player already got hurt.
I thought Royce Lewis got hurt in spring training. You gotta give Chris and I a break.
In another time that would have been like, you know, and it was a huge deal, but like on our radar, we would have noticed that on our radar.
I literally thought he got hurt last week, and it was spring training. Last week was crazy. But anyways, today's show is brought to you by Prize. Where they
all right. Listen to our expert MLB prize picks. Yeah. Now.
No, yes. I have no advice other than to show you that they have Prize Picks set up for I don't even know who Michael Taylor is. He's on the Twins.
I've heard of him.
Well, you read the paper every day.
I do, but sometimes I don't retain information as well as I should. That's fair.
But anyways, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Juan Soto, I've heard of him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And probably people listening to this have heard about all of these players and know a lot more, might have an idea of what direction to go. So it works we've talked about Prize Picks all year with basketball stuff and football and all that. It's just a statistical bar set, and you choose more or less than. You fuse a couple picks together there. It's daily fantasy, and so, you know, for baseball season 2, it is an option. Chris, you're really digging in there.
I'm just trying to see what the props are on, like total bases, like what do they do in baseball?
Just popular. So there's pitcher strikeouts. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Total bases, first inning runs allowed, hits allowed, stolen bases, RBIs, and you know, in a game, all those sort of things. I don't know, baseball stats.
Right? Yeah. Sure.
So anyways, check them out at prizepicks.com or the PrizePicks app if you want to play some daily fantasy for baseball. Otherwise, there's a bunch of basketball games tonight and Wolves Rockets on Tuesday as well. That's prizepicks.com or the PrizePicks app. Promo code Dane. All right, Chris, the other thing we were kind of talking about before we hit record was just Ant's play of late. I mean, we should start this by saying Ant very much saved the Wolves season with the March that he had.
Yeah.
And immediately, I mean, really one of the flashbulb moments to me of the season was in that Indiana game, not like before he made the block and hit his head, you know, at the rim and all that, was just that end of that fourth quarter and Ant's assertion that, yeah, we lost Karl Anthony Towns, who is an all-star player, but the season is not over. And Ant drove that bus, you know, by himself oftentimes for 2-3 weeks and still in many ways is. It just is worth noting, or we both think it's worth noting, that the shooting is starting to dip of late. It hasn't been effective of shooting from Ant. Obviously, I think a lot of the factors we were talking about before with fatigue, you know, come up there. I think it's also kind of seeing you're running the marathon and you can see the finish line there a little bit. And knowing that there's a whole nother marathon to run after you cross that marathon line in the playoffs. What have you just kind of thought about Ant's play of late, I guess?
Well, I think he alluded to it in his post-game comments last night. And then, well, Mike Conley was talking, Ant was talking very loud for everybody to hear in the locker room.
That he said, make a damn shot, Ant!
and he was talking to himself in the third person.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he does not have his legs right now. He feels fatigued. He feels tired. That's I think very plain to see. Mm-hmm. We were joking with him a little bit, like, you know, hey Ant, there's a week between the end of the regular season and the playoffs. You know, go sit on a beach somewhere. And he's like, well, that sounds really nice, or like something like that.
And he's going to Hawaii.
We were going to Hawaii, and
which really conflicts with the whole preparing for these teams for a playoffs. Like,
forget about practice. You know, don't worry about it. Just come back that Sunday and roll out the ball and play. Yeah, so I think he could use a break, but I think what you're seeing is the hidden cost of not having Karl in the lineup to take some of the pressure off of Ant, which is that Ant is doing a lot more than he already is, which was already a lot to begin with.
Sure.
And so not having Karl there to alleviate some of the usage and pressure, and other guys have picked up, you know, their shots and things like that. But Ant is doing so much and is the generator of some of these guys' shot creation because of the attention that he draws. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk a lot about the ball movement getting better, and the Denver game was a you know, we could hang that Denver game up next to that Knicks game from last season about like ball movement in the Chris Finch era of Hall of Fame Chris Finch ball movement performances of this Timberwolves team. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons for that is because Ant stirs the drink and has to. And that's what generates open looks and ball movement is his gravity and attention. Mm-hmm. So he's just not, you know, it looks like he needs a break. Like, quite honestly, like he could use a night off.
I bet he gets Wednesday off. You know,
maybe. Maybe. I mean, listen, this.
Why not? I know we've been doing the thing all year, but why not? Like,
I don't disagree with that. I really don't. And I know that it flies in the face of like.
The Raptors have lost 13 games in a row.
This team has been like the anti-load management team. Ant himself has come out as like the anti-load management all-star with his public comments about it from last year's all-star game. But I think he could really use a night off. I really do. Well,
Okay, how about this though? Like, I mean, whatever. This is all just framing, but like, yeah, it wouldn't just be load management. Like, he legitimately dislocated his finger.
Yeah.
Like, what was that?
Two weeks ago.
Like, if that,
I like to call it dunk finger.
Dunk
finger. That's his ailment. Yeah. He's questionable with dunk finger. Yeah.
But what I mean, what else is he?
I mean, we used, you know, back spasms.
He had back spasms.
Back spasms before Denver game. Like, maybe give him the tail end of a back to back off, knowing that you have Phoenix coming up. You know, give Ant 2 days off before you play Phoenix and try to get by this Toronto game without him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's an opportunity to give him a day.
I think you're
right. that's probably the. You know, the way to put it there, but
I think it's clear, and he's admitted as such that his legs are just doesn't feel like they're there right now. So
well, and I think this specific to last night where this mattered was he's the straw that has to stir the drink offensively as always, and then they opted to put Coby White on McDaniels to start the game, which didn't surprise me. That's almost always what they do with Jaden, right? Like the main sort of point of attack guy you put on him, which you kind of then you go down it like Ant's got to guard DeRozan, who, you know, who played really well in that game, but is just DeRozan's good, man. Like that's a job.
That's a good man. That's a requires your attention. Yeah,
it does. And if you got the fatigue factor going in there, you got whatever, like, and the offensive responsibility to have there, like they had to switch up that matchup and put McDaniels on DeRozan. And you said to me, you go, I think Jaden just decided he is never going to jump. Right? That's what you said to me. He goes, I think he's just.
I confirmed that with Jaden last night in the locker room too. I just went over to him and I said, hey Jaden, I'm like, when you're guarding DeRozan, like, do you just tell yourself like, don't jump? And he's like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, because if you jump, like, he's going to get a foul called.
And it works so well for Jaden because, I mean, what's Jaden's standing reach? Even if he doesn't jump, it's like he's there. He's still there, right? Like, he's got the hand in the face. But, you know, that's the – I say that to mean that's the ripple effect of Ant fatigue is – and I think – I know DeRozan was 6 of 9 at halftime from the field, and then he finishes the game 11 of 23. So –
yeah.
That's 5 of 14 in the second half.
They definitely talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was predominantly McDaniels and Anderson on him in the second half there too. So I mean, there's nothing really to, I don't mean this as a nitpick on Ant, who we led with saying, you know, this month of March and specifically Ant's mentality to not let Cat going out phase his belief of what this team has gone has saved the season. It just comes with the cost of extra work and more fatigue. And you know what? Here we are, right? Like So the question is, what's it going to look like over the final? What are the 8 games left? You know, what is he going to be able to do? And they are joking about that week off, but like you get that the last game's like the 12th or 13th.
The last game is the 14th, and then the playoffs don't start until at least the 20th.
20th or 21st.
Right.
Six
days, and they don't have to travel. They'll be at home an entire time. They, you know, that's one of the big things about them not being in the play-in this year is they will have almost a whole week off to rest and recuperate, and then they will open their first round series at home. So whatever travel fatigue should not be present as they open the playoffs.
It's also, and I mean, you know this even more than I am, with being on the road and everything all the time, is like this team isn't practicing right now. Like they're not practicing today. Like, and that's been a consistent thing. We know that because that's when we can go to media availabilities, and that I think it matters too. I think this is a team that practices well.
I think so.
You know what I'm saying? So. Like, I don't.
They're not even shooting around all the time either, which is like something that's common throughout the season. They didn't shoot around. Maybe that had to do with the 6 p.m. start. Sometimes it does, but you know, there are days where, you know, it's a 7 p.m. start, and normally I would be expecting a shoot around availability, and then they say no shoot around today. And so that's happened a few times over the last couple of weeks. Like this all goes into like trying to maximize their rest. All this not practicing and not shooting, and sometimes not shooting around.
And it goes into having the wrong game plan for the Bulls.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, like that's theoretically, right? Like you have more time to prepare for it. You do a practice, you do a shoot around, like. Yeah. You got your game plan down more, or you have your secondary game plan down more. Maybe, I don't know exactly how it works, but they didn't switch the coverages until halftime. Maybe that's something you need to have halftime to be able to do. But if you would have practiced, whatever, you know, like this was coverage A, this is coverage B. It's just the theme here is fatigue and, you know, and I get the choice to be prioritizing general rest. This team is still competing. It isn't a load management team, like you're saying. Like they are still playing the games, but then the cost is in a different area, right? Of practice or shoot around, whatever it might be. So I think that's a big factor there. Today's show is brought to you by Unified Healing. That's UNIFYD Healing. And whether you're a world-class athlete or just have an everyday 9-to-5, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. We see that all the time in basketball. You got to be healthy physically to win, but players are also at their best when their mental well-being is at its best. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the show. Unified Healing is a new and super innovated global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in Minnesota or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/Dane Moore to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/Dane Moore. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Today's show is brought to you by the Game Time app, and I am just glad selfishly that the Game Time app provides an option that's simple for tickets. I remember about a year ago going to a concert at First Ave where I had used a different ticketing platform for tickets, and I got to the concert, showing them my phone, all these different things. It just didn't work. I had to go home and literally print out the tickets and come back. It was ridiculous, and we missed part of the concert. You shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Since that experience, I've used the Game Time app for a handful of concerts and a bunch of Twins games last summer. It's just super easy, seamless. I live a couple blocks from Target Field where the Twins play, and have literally purchased tickets on my walk on the Game Time app over to the stadium, all on my phone, and got in no problem. There's concerts coming up in Minneapolis. Chris Stapleton and Fall Out Boy are both in Minneapolis this week. And I know I recently purchased Blink-182 tickets for August on the Game Time app. And it was simple and straightforward with a lowest price guarantee, which guarantees you the lowest price or a credit for 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DANEMORE for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DANEMOORE for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all feel like we could use an extra hour in every day. What is the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day today? Go on a run, read a book, maybe see a friend, maybe take a nap. I think that's what I would choose today. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, and it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Dane Moore today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Dane Moore.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We were talking a little bit about wanting to rethinking about the matchups thing. And you just brought up, mentioned Phoenix a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm so interested to see those two games. And I hope we get to see a rested Wolves team. And actually, I hope Phoenix is rested too. And like that those teams, at least in one of those two games.
But we see it, both teams firing on all cylinders.
Yeah. Like one of them, you know, that would be helpful to see. Cause I think it was me and you, we were talking about this, but probably two Mondays ago of like, you know, Dallas, Phoenix, Sacramento. I don't know. Like, it's like that we can make a case for and against every single one of those teams. The update in the last week is the Kings losing Herter for the season, and then Monk is like four to six weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's like in the playoffs.
That's huge. Yeah. They're in trouble.
And so to the Wolves, like for the Wolves, I mean, that becomes the one, right?
Yeah, if you can, I mean, that's almost going to be impossible to do because that's probably going to be like a play-in scenario, and who knows how that's going to go.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, do they leave that group now?
Do they finish 7-8? Can they get the 7th seed? And if not, do they get the 8th seed? You know, like I don't know. I don't know. I think if you're the Wolves in that case, like if the goal now is to like get Sacramento. In the playoffs, then you're going to have to be a two or one.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Sacramento's going to have the juice to get back up to six.
Yeah. No, I think you're right there.
So I think getting a top two seed now becomes more important than ever. Mm-hmm. Because you want to at least be in the mix to play Sacramento in the playoffs.
Right.
And you hope that if you're the two seed, they can somehow win that 7-8 matchup. And then, you know, if you're the one seed, then you got to hope that the chips just fall in that way where they end up being the 8th seed. So it's just hard to predict, but I think you just got to be in that mix of 2-1 to try to get them. That's, I, you know, that's because right now that's the team you want to play in the first round.
What, like, scale of 1 to 10, how important do you think it is that they get the 1 or 2
now?
Yeah. As of today, Monday morning at 11 a.m.
I'm going to put it at like a 9.
Me too.
I thought it's just because, like, if you get the 1 or 2, like in the 2, then you're home in the second round against whoever the 3 is.
That's it for me.
I think at least getting the 2 seed the rest of the way here should be on their radar, should be something that they're striving for. They don't have to get the 1 seed, mm-hmm. but getting the 2 seed I think would be very valuable, given the fact that Sacramento might be in that mix and mm-hmm. home court in the second round if you get that far. So
yeah. And yeah, you could, if you are in the 1 or 2, mm-hmm. you could get lucky and play a team that came out of the play-in, you know, that got the chance at like the Wolves of those 10 or 11, if we want to throw Houston in there too. Mm-hmm. Like the best case is Golden State or Houston, right? And I think it's unlikely that either of them get out of the play-in and end up being the 8th seed, but that's a possibility,
right?
And I think if you get that in, if you get the 1 seed and you the chance of playing that team, that's I don't want to call it a free square completely in the first round, because mm-hmm. you know, the on pedigree, like the Warriors don't deserve that, even though I think the Wolves match up with them great, but like there's a value to that. There's a huge value to the 2, I think, in what you're saying with having in that second round, being if it's, you know, if it's then Oklahoma City or Denver, who's the 3, being able to have home, like mm-hmm. that matters in that series. Those are going to be close, you know, those are going to be close matchup series. Home court's going to swing that a little bit. So mm-hmm. I'm up there too, like as the 1 or 2 really, you know, really mattering. And it's why last night hurts a little bit, you know. Yeah. And it hurts that Shea made that shot late in the game too to win it there. But I think, yeah, broadly that's what I'm thinking about. It's like the goal doesn't need to be the 1. And I don't think it is this team's, what they've said when we've asked, you know, is to be, you know, playing at their best level as they enter the playoffs. And that's the answer every single time. That's what Denver's saying. That's what Oklahoma City's saying. And that is. That's the biggest thing. But if you can achieve that, then I do think you have to consider some matchups a little bit. And Sacramento, even though we're both on the same page that like Sacramento is a uniquely difficult matchup for the Wolves, given the Sabonis thing and what we were just talking about before with Vucevic, actually pretty relevant after this game. But at now, the same time, they just don't have that juice. And it's they don't have depth.
Right. Like, that's the thing. Their depth has taken a major, major hit. And I think you definitely want to play them now. They would be for me number 1 on the Wolf wish list of first round opponents.
Even
over Golden State right now. Yeah, I feel that way.
Yeah, I can't argue that too much. Yeah. I mean, they've dropped. They've dropped and to the depth point, and this is I thought is really relevant after the Denver game too, is like the Wolves have such an advantage.
They do,
like 6 through 9.
It's honest, like the last 2 matchups against Denver have made that very clear.
Yeah.
Against Denver specifically, that like if the Wolves are in a playoff series with them, their depth is such a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. Now we don't know.
Jokic is going to play 40 minutes.
Right. I was going to say, we don't know how like the Wolves are going to manage their minutes. Mm-hmm. How many guys is Finch going to play? Especially if and when Carl is back. Yeah.
He's not going to play 10.
He's not going to play 10, but you know, is he going to stick to 9? Like he's shown a reluctance to do that in part because last season they didn't have the depth because of Nas and Jaden being out. But like, you know, how many minutes does Monte Morris play in a playoff series? How many minutes does Nikhil end up playing? Mm-hmm. I think Nikhil would play a lot in a theoretical Denver series just because of the Jamal Murray factor. But I think it's just painfully clear that when those teams start going to their benches, mm-hmm. the Wolves just have more buttons to push than Denver does in that series.
You know what the Sacramento thing is? They're the Wolves last year.
Yeah,
it's almost like the exact thing with Nas and Jaden getting hurt and Herter and Monk, you know, like, and then then the Wolves are playing Jalen Noel and Austin Rivers in the playoffs last year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what, you know, is that Keon Ellis and, you know, whatever. Like, it's that similar drop, and we know how much that impacted that series. It's actually perfect. The Kings, we've been saying all season, are a quote unquote bad matchup for the Wolves. Just like we were saying last year that the Wolves were a bad matchup for the Nuggets, right? Mm-hmm. And we saw that in the playoffs, that, you know, bad, whatever, you know what I'm saying?
But like, yeah.
Quotes,
yeah.
Air quotes, bad. And they still handled them. But the Wolves weren't as bad of a matchup because they didn't have McDaniels to put on Murray and Nas. I mean, they can't really guard Nas, you know, and his game there. And it's kind of the same thing with like the Kings. Herter is a guy that Cat or Nas or somebody's going to have would have had to be chasing on the perimeter, which is a major fear of that matchup. And then Monk is another guy that they need to defend in isolation and pick and roll game with Sabonis, which is a weakness for the Wolves in that matchup there too. So, I guess just on the fly, I think I'm getting close.
You've talked yourself into it.
Still, well, let's see how the Houston game goes, because I think it's possible that they could end up getting that spot over. You know, it's in the realm of possibilities. What are they? Well, they're two games behind Golden State now.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
The tiebreaker is two. Yeah, I'm not sure what their tiebreaker situation is. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I just think now you're starting to see like a little separation here between 6 and 7 in the standings, where now it's, you know, the Clippers, Dallas, and New Orleans, you know, specifically more Dallas and New Orleans, kind of in the mix for that 6 seed.
So that's why
I think up to 2 is important, because you avoid Dallas and New Orleans, until in that case, it would be at least the second round, if, you know, the 6 seed knocks off the 3 seed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think now more than ever, it's get a top 2 seed, number three. I think there's a significant disadvantage now to being number 3 as opposed to at least number 2 or 1.
Yeah. No, I'm glad we hit on that. I wrote that down last night. It's like, you know, but the thinking about it more now, I think there really is something to that. And it's,
and I think it's important to bring up too, that, you know, a little hidden thing of their win over Denver the other night was that they did a lot for their tiebreaker situation against both Denver and Oklahoma City with that win.
Can you run through that again quickly?
So for the folks out there, we've got now the Wolves have clinched at least a split against Denver for the season, because they're 2-1 with one matchup. So even if they lose this next matchup against Denver, that ends in a split, right? So the next tiebreaker between teams that are in the same division is division record. Mm-hmm. Well, the Wolves have clinched a better division record than the Nuggets with that win. Denver is 8-6 in the division, and the Wolves are 12-3.
Okay.
So the Wolves have the tiebreaker over Denver now, in a one-on-one matchup. They also are seemingly on their way to getting the tiebreaker over Oklahoma City now with that win. With Oklahoma City, it's the same situation. They've split the season series at 2-2. So you have to go to the next tiebreaker, which is the division record. Oklahoma City is 12-4 in the division. They're done playing the division for the year. The Wolves are 12-3 in the division. So that Denver game is their last divisional matchup. Mm. If they win that game, they win the tiebreaker over Oklahoma City outright. If they lose that game against Denver, Oklahoma City and Minnesota then have the same division record. All right, so the tiebreaker then is not resolved. You go to the next tiebreaker, which is conference record, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know this is getting a little complicated. But
no, this is good.
Yeah, okay.
This is good.
So the next one is conference record, and the Wolves are currently 4 up in the loss column on Oklahoma City in terms of conference record. The Thunder are 33-16 right now, and the Wolves are 35-12. So they have a significant lead right now over Oklahoma City in terms of conference records.
That means they got it. That means they got it.
Right. It means they got it, essentially.
Even if they lose to Denver, they would need to. they would need to lose so many conferences. That doesn't mean they need to lose both the Phoenix games, the Houston game, and you're not even going to get to a tiebreaker if you go like 3-5 in your final eight games. So
correct.
So that to me says if they get into any tiebreaker situation,
they would probably have the edge.
Almost certainly have it.
Yeah, that's big. I think the only way.
Thank you for doing that.
I think the only way it gets convoluted is if they all end up in a three-way tie.
Yeah.
In which case, I think, I don't know, I think Denver gets the one and then the Wolves get the two.
Okay.
Because Denver, yeah. I think, has housed Oklahoma City a bunch of times this year. Or, I don't know.
Yeah, that one's, that's 3D chess.
I'm not sure. But in a one-on-one scenario against both Denver and Oklahoma City, the Wolves will have, they will have the tiebreaker over Denver. That's clinched.
Mm-hmm.
And they 99% will have like the tiebreaker of Oklahoma City.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Have you written that yet?
I think I threw it in my game story, but I haven't like written like hey, here's the tiebreaker scenarios against Denver and Oklahoma City. Like I think I might write that later as it gets more into view.
A little less convoluted.
Or as the seeding gets more into view, because there's still so much that can happen. Just over a week of games before we see how this all shakes out.
Okay, cool. Well, speaking of, it's funny. It's like everything that happened last week, which is really like Friday. It feels almost like a little bit distant already at this point.
That's just how the season feels, though. But, man, it's like every time there's a game, it feels like the game before it seems like ages ago.
Yeah.
You know, like,
but what I was going to say is like, for us, we lived it for 48 hours on Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like normal people, maybe, you know, they were with their families for the weekend and all that, and are just maybe now on a Monday digging in. And I mean, reading the story that you wrote off stories that you wrote last week off of everything that went down. With ownership. If you missed that in the paper, obviously you can go to StarTribune.com to check that all out. Chris also talked to Mark and Alex and, you know, and Glenn also in all that stuff. So really I appreciate many of you listening to what Kyle and I did with Rodriguez and Lori, but there's from both Chris and John really dug in and wrote some great stuff with that too. So check that out, and then let's move past it, right? Because it's going to come back.
This isn't going away anytime soon. And
no.
We will have, I'm sure, periodic updates as stuff happens throughout this process, whatever.
Credit to you. Credit to you. Great work this week.
And hey, you know, same to you guys, because, you know, I just think from a macro sense, like just looking, stepping back and just, you know, knowing you for the last, you know, 5-6 years as I have, like, you know, just having Lori and Rodriguez come on your podcast, I think is a credit to you and what you've built here over the last half decade plus here. So
thank you. I appreciate that, man. One of the coolest things, you're the people, or we're not coworkers necessarily, but it's a really good Wolves beat, and I think we're all made better. It's made better because we all do work together in many ways. And I mean, you and I were talking consistently, like on the airplane. I walked back and to come talk to you on Thursday.
That's right. Yeah.
To Denver.
I think I said to you, I said, Dane, this was Thursday afternoon. We're both on the same flight to Denver. And Dane walks on the plane a little bit after me and he comes back to me. I think I said to you, I said, Dane, my phone hasn't been working today. Like, has anything been happening? Have I missed anything? Oh,
a little.
I'm kidding, by the way. My phone was working. My phone was working perfectly fine on Thursday.
Well, our phones are working too well.
Yes. Yes.
No, absolutely. But it was, I mean, like, credit to the Wolves beat, all of us, you know, and Jace and John and yourself. I think we did a good job covering all of it, which was a different.
Let's set aside the last 5 minutes of each show to just pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
Let's just do that.
I did that. Me and Kyle did that last episode. Go us. Yes. No, this is fun. In all seriousness, check out StarTribune.com. Chris's stuff, obviously, all over his Twitter and that there as well. Dig into that on a Monday if you want to, and this podcast as well, Chris.
I almost made it through my entire Starbucks while sitting here. It's honestly been like the Lois Griffin meme the entire time I've been doing this podcast. You know how she's looking at the pill bottle on the. You know, on the table. Every time I look over, it's like, do I want to take another sip and have people hear that on the podcast? I need another sip. I need another sip.
You deserved another another sip here for Monday. But enjoy the rest of enjoy a Monday kind of off. You know, and appreciate you getting on here after a long weekend and doing it all. I actually think I didn't have a lot to talk about on today's show, but I'm glad we got into all that stuff with the playoffs there too. This was fun. Appreciate you doing it. You guys can follow Chris on Twitter at Christopher Ryan. Read him in the Strib or at StarTribune.com. Next up will be Jason and I on Wednesday morning after the Wolves Rockets game, and we'll keep rolling here through the rest of the season. Until then, he's Chris, I'm Dane. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else around.